Hello, wonderful, lovely souls, or whatever you want to call yourselves. This is Cerebral Flex, episode 42. What is MBTI? We keep talking about MBTI. Well, we're here to tell you what it is. It's the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. A lot of YouTube channels do shows about this. There's 16 personality types, and certain people get into real deep specifics, like C.S. Joseph. Is that his name, Jared?
Yeah. C.S. Joseph. I think there's a kid named Eric Thor. There's Love Who. There's a whole bunch. Yeah, if you take the Myers-Briggs type test, there's a bunch of free ones online. I personally like there's the 16 personalities one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Trudy one. I find those two to be the most accurate. If you could take those, you can take them for free. You just got to give them your email or whatever. And you find your type and you literally type it into YouTube. To learn more about your type, you will have hundreds of videos.
Yep. And I like Azura Psych. He's another one on YouTube. But 16personalities.com, you don't even have to give an email if you don't want to.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You get more in depth if you give an email.
I like Trudy.
Yeah.
Best, but I think that's also because they have the Enneagram and the 5 personalities and all that stuff. So,
all right. So let me give you like the Wikipedia definition. MBTI stands for the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. It's an introspective self-report questionnaire indicating differing psychological preferences in how people perceive the world and make decisions. The test attempts to assign 4 categories: introversion versus extroversion, sensing versus intuition, thinking versus feeling, and judging versus perceiving. And one letter from each category is taken to produce a 4-letter test result, such as INFJ, such as both of Jareth and my wives are both typed as INFJs, or ENFP or ISTJ. There's lots of different combinations. Well, 16, it's not a lot. But yeah, there's also cognitive function stacking. So like, say for me, I'm an INTJ. I have what's called introverted intuition as my first dominant function. I have extroverted thinking as my second function. I have introverted feeling as my tertiary function, and I have extroverted sensing as my last function. So once you learn your type, you also should learn your cognitive functions. And then if you want to get really nerdy, get into your shadow functions and have a blast. It'll take over your mind. But yeah, it's a lot like Enneagram or Big 5, because those are both introspective self-reporting questionnaire type indicators.
The I think the Big 5 is the one that is people use the most. I'm not really sure why.
Businesses do. Well, it's the easiest to understand.
Yeah, it's definitely the easiest to understand. With just a little anecdote about the MBTI versus the Enneagram. So MBTI is based off of some of Carl Jung's students. He never really endorsed MBTI. He didn't really get into it because that wasn't his thing, but he had students who kind of helped create it, and they were more focused, like Jung was, on personality, the conscious functions of the mind, etc. Whereas the Enneagram, the creators of those, they focus more on the nurturing aspect. So they believe that your personality is more based on the way that you were nurtured and grew up. So that's kind of the difference, where Carl Jung and the MBTI, they kind of think like your personality is kind of set by the way that your brain functions. They believe with the Enneagram that it is more of a nurture nature type of deal.
I like using both of them together.
Well, the interesting thing is if you do it and you're the most thing about the test is you have to answer it as honestly as possible.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of like go with your gut reaction and what you believe to be true. It is even helpful if you have somebody like a significant other who can sit there and help you kind of answer it so that you're being true to yourself, especially if they've known you for a long time. Because I know when I take it sometimes that I might struggle, like, am I this way? Am I not this way? So you got to be really honest with it. And usually if you're really honest with it, what you'll find is that your Enneagram type is pretty similar to your MBTI type. So like my Enneagram type is 5 wing 4, which is
really
pretty, which is pretty close to what an INTP is. Yes.
Yeah. I'm a one wing two.
Yeah.
So all about like meritocracy and like perfection.
Yep. And INTJ. So
yeah, very similar. And my astrology is not too far off either. I'm an Aquarius, but like, you know, you need to be separate. We're aloof. We're disconnected. But I don't know how much I believe in any of it, but it all seems to be accurate. So I keep reading about it.
Yeah.
And
I'm definitely more into, I'm the least into the Enneagram. I'm into the MBTI, and I'm also into MBTI in conjunction with astrology, because I do think when it comes to the way that the planets shift and the way that the moon cycles go through and stuff like that, like weird shit, and people act differently when certain planets are in retrograde. If you look back at historical events, even certain shiftings of planets always contribute to like revolutions or civil unrest. So it's definitely something that's buried in the subconscious mind if it's not actively affecting us. And I think it's interesting to look at, especially because you have, because people will say that astrology and MBTI are like, I mean, it is ridiculous to have 16 personalities and only 12 zodiac signs, but like using the scientific method and looking back, like there are all of these correlations with these events.
Yeah.
But there's no way to like necessarily prove that that was the thing that caused it.
Right.
But like, if you're smart and you put together the correlations, you can kind of see that maybe there is some things that we are maybe not looking at when it comes to.
We should probably do an astrology episode too.
I think that'd be fun, because I think most people like think, oh, I'm a Capricorn. So that I just act like a Capricorn. But most people, when they meet me, they don't necessarily type me as a Capricorn. That's because when you look at your birth chart, you have a bunch of planets that are all in different positions and stuff like that. So like, yeah, we could do an episode on astrology. That might be fun to break down.
We need to do the Vedic astrology too, which is even more complex.
It's so complex.
Yeah. So a little history about MBTI. This two ladies, Isabel Briggs Myers and her mom, Catherine Cook Briggs, researched Carl Jung's personality types and extended their interest in human behavior into efforts to turn the theory of psychological types to practical use. So they were just sitting around and they kind of cooked this up, but it all seems to stick. So it's very, very exciting for me. So like, just to tell you guys how it works, once you find out your cognitive functions, your first extroverted function is the one you interact with the world with. So I don't even interact with the world with my first function, hence probably why I don't interact with the world much at all. But my second function is extroverted thinking. So that's how, if I'm interacting with you, how I communicate. It's all through external thought and putting things into practical use. And it's kind of a boring function, but yeah, go ahead.
Anecdote. Just because you have an introverted type doesn't mean that you are introverted. So like, correct. So like, just cause I'm an INTP, that doesn't necessarily that as an INTP, I'm going to be a stay at home introvert. I mean, most INTPs are, because they are actual introverts, but like just 90, because
99% of them are stay at home introverts.
Yeah. So, but just because you have like an I for introverted, that doesn't necessarily mean you're an introvert. That just means you have introverted thinking.
Okay. I agree though that there's extroverted introverts.
Yeah, I would agree.
Kendrick Lamar said he is an extroverted introvert.
I would agree.
There's also introverted extroverts. Like, I think ESTJs fit that description. But yeah, like an INFP will enjoy socializing and going to parties more so than an INTJ or an INTP. But
I don't really enjoy that. I think it's also based on person too.
It is. Yes. But in general, you know, this is more for in general, I would say. This
is a generalization. Anyway, yeah. I just had that anecdote. So go ahead.
No, it's fine. The first extroverted function is the one you interact with the world with. And the third function is what you fall back on when you feel cornered or the need to be defensive. The personality hacker website says that each function is a level of maturity. So the first function has a maturity level of like an 80-year-old, The second function, like a 30-year-old. The third function would be like a 10-year-old, and the last would be like a 3-year-old. And C.S. Joseph and others even go into, like I said, the shadow functions, which are the opposites of your four primary functions. And a lot of people that research MBTI believe that everyone's utilizing actually eight functions, which I find pretty fascinating. Especially when you're in like grip stress, your functions can flip. You can act like an entirely different personality type if you're super stressed or depressed. But that our unconscious uses the shadow functions, and that we won't get into those for the show because it's kind of complicated, but that just makes you lucky.
So I think for INTP, my shadow's an ENTJ.
Is that right?
I believe it is.
I could see that.
So the shadow, so the shadow is kind of what you're struggling against. And actually what C.S. Joseph said, I don't know how true this is, but he's one of the MBTI guys. He was saying that your shadow, especially when you become a parent, is what you're going to try to make your child to be. So as an INTP, I'm going to want my child to act more like an ENTJ, or try to push them into that mode of thinking or whatever, because that's what my shadow personality is trying to do, which I thought was an interesting way of looking at things. So maybe finding out what type your parent is and seeing how they raised you might help you out.
As well, my mom's an ENFJ and my dad was an INTJ.
Interesting.
And they say that most introverts come from extrovert parents, or at least one real dominant extrovert parent, or the one they spent the most time with.
Mm-hmm.
And most extroverts come from introvert parents, or the primary introvert parent they spent the most time with. But yeah, my mom's like a super extrovert. She loves talking to people. She loves being around people. And just so you guys know, the difference between introvert and extrovert is where you gain your energy.
Yes.
So say for an INTJ like myself, we are known to be the ones that are more into isolation than any other type. We can go the longest periods of time without human contact. And most of us that I've talked to are confused on what's more important, knowledge or our personal relationships with others.
And I'm sure most of you agree that knowledge.
No, it's a conflicting thing. It's something we have to like, oh shit, I need to stop reading this book, or I need to stop studying this thing right now, and I need to go upstairs and actually have communication with my family.
Yeah.
Horrible. But like extroverts get their energy from being around other people, and introverts get their energy from being alone. And I can just sit in my cave of solitude for probably 6 months and I would not get depressed. But that is not true for all introverts. Most introverts get depressed without human contact a lot faster than that. Especially the feeling types.
Yeah. So like me, so like, I don't necessarily want to be around a bunch of people or want to go out, but there are times like at the very beginning of the pandemic when we were super isolated. Like I am a homebody and I enjoy being at home, but I also enjoy like seeing a close friend or two and just being able to spend like some actual time with them. And so at the very beginning of the pandemic, I was very depressed because I was isolated and going nowhere but to work, home, store, home, and not really having any type of interaction with anybody outside of that. So just because you're an introvert doesn't necessarily mean that you hate all human contact. Some introverts still do need some form of human contact, even if it's only brief and for a little while.
Yeah, no, I still enjoy human contact.
You don't need it.
I could go a long time without it, like a camel with water.
Yes.
Yeah, like you were saying earlier, MBTI has been criticized as a pseudoscience. It's not widely endorsed by academic researchers in the field, but it is used by tons of corporations and universities to find out what you should do with your life, how your brain is wired, how you act as human, how you think, like who are you? So I would say that a lot of people do think it is accurate. Otherwise, they wouldn't use it.
The field of psychology in and of itself is still considered a pseudoscience. Yeah. Mental diseases are still considered pseudoscience. To a certain degree, things like neurodivergent tendencies like bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder, even certain autistic spectrums are still kind of considered pseudoscientific, which is kind of mind-boggling. It's just because we don't understand how the mind or the personality or consciousness works. Therefore, they like to attach the term pseudoscience to it. But again, if you take the scientific method and you continue to look at things over an extended period of time and you start to develop correlations, it's just that you can't test the correlations. You just have to look at the correlations. So,
right. And a lot of researchers say it's not reliable, MBTI specifically, because you can get different results when retaking the test, which I attribute to like not answering honestly, or you might have gone through a lot of trauma before you took the test. You're not in your right mind.
And we're talking about, I mean, if we're looking at the just the basic MBTI model of, you have your core personality, which would, for me, would be INTP, and then my shadow personality is ENTJ. Maybe that's conflicting with some of my answers. Maybe my shadow's taking over me more. And if you go even further, like C.S. Joseph and some other Jungian people that use MBTI, they actually use Carl Jung's model of the unconscious for the MBTI, and they break it down into four categories of the mind. And each of those categories has separate personalities with separate functions. So then we're talking about, if this is the case, like for anybody, I might would be INTP, ENTJ shadow, and then my subconscious, and then
demon or something.
Demon or ego or something like that, like, would also have separate consciousness. So you're talking about four personalities, each of them having different ways which their functions relate to each other, constantly combating each other.
Right.
Like,
and it's how what you're going through in your life at the time.
Yeah. Just depending on the day you're having, you might answer a question differently. You might feel differently about yourself.
Yep. And I always flip between turbulence and assertive, and that's only with the 16 personality website. They created this extra layer to it.
So interestingly enough, when I've taken that, anytime I've gotten INTJ, because I know I've gotten INTJ a couple times, because there are certain types that are so close that you can get mistyped as one of them. I'm definitely an INTP, but the times I've ever typed as an INTJ on that site have always been a turbulent. Whereas when I type as an INTP, I usually type as an assertive, sometimes as a turbulent. But if I ever type as an INTJ, it is always as a turbulent, which is interesting, I think.
Yeah, I've noticed I get turbulent if I'm going through like depressing moments or I'm in a deep, dark hole. I'm more turbulent. But if I'm sure of my goals in the future, which INTJs are, then I'm a lot more assertive.
Yes.
Know what I'm doing with my life. And throughout the show, please remember that everyone is different. And even if you are typed a certain personality, it doesn't mean you're the same as the next person that's typed the same personality. Everyone's different. So,
right. Like we said, like 16 personalities for, what is it, almost 9 billion people now? Something like that. Like that's insane.
I think it's more 8. Are we at 8 now?
No, you were probably at 8.
I know.
But 16 personalities for even 8 billion people, like, that's a little ridiculous. Obviously, some people are going to be more like their types than other. And there are even some people who theorize that your type may change later in life, that through different developmental stages, the way that your brain functions and stuff, you could change. So who knows? Maybe by the time I'm 50, I'll no longer be an INTP. I may have shifted into more of a different type. I don't really think that's the case. But there are people who theorize that.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know if I agree with it either, but, you know, I also know that multiple personalities and things might be able to affect that. I think that's a lot more prevalent than people realize.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, I was just saying, like, if you're INTJ or INTP like Jareth and I are, it is quite possible you'll meet a dumb one. I mean, we're considered the most intelligent of all the types, but there are certainly stupid ones out there, and there's smart ESTPs, ESTJs, or, you know, the ones that are considered less intelligent on the IQ scale. But everyone's different.
We haven't figured out how IQ works at all. We have linked IQ to early childhood nutrition, which is why I always harp on that one a lot. I think that all children should have very good meals and be fed nutritiously, because that is just going to help your brain power later in life. But we don't know where IQ comes from. There are certain types that are more intelligent than others in the vast majority, but not all of them are. But that doesn't necessarily mean that all INTPs are going to be smart. You're going to meet dumb people of every category. It's all about the way the brain functions and how you take in information, process it, and relate it to the real world.
Past experiences, education level, all that plays a part. So yeah, here's the 16 personality types. There's ISTJ, the inspector, ISTP, the crafter, ISFJ, the protector, ISFP, the artist, INFJ, the advocate, INFP, the mediator, INTJ, the architect, INTP, the thinker, ESTP, the persuader, ESTJ, the director, or brutal cop, ESFP, the performer, ESFJ, the caregiver, ENFP, the champion, ENFJ, the giver, ENTP, the debater, and ENTJ, the commander. And I can explain what their cognitive functions are now, or we can go down the road of discussing anything, whatever you want.
No, I think we could get into like what they are. So as we get into it, like, so for each type, they have a different title that they're given. And as you go over the cognitive functions, we can talk about how like the ISTG is the inspector and so forth. So
yeah. ISTJ is the first one. I was going to go off the same order that I just listed them as.
Yep.
So if you're taking notes out there.
Taking notes.
It's in order. You're welcome. ISTJ, it's called the inspector. They run on introversion, sensing, thinking, and judgment. That's what those letters stand for, ISTJ. People with an ISTJ personality type tend to be reserved, practical, and quiet. They're actually some of my favorite people. I mean, I don't like the traditionalism, but I love that they're so literal. And like, you can, if they're an employee or a coworker, I know they're going to complete the objective I just told them we need to complete. I fucking love that. They enjoy order and organization in all areas of their lives, including their home, work, family, and projects. ISTJs value loyalty in themselves and others and place an emphasis on traditions. Their cognitive functions stack with introverted sensing being their dominant one. So they can remember rule books, algorithms, anything with a definite start and finish process, what's happened to them in their life, who's wronged them, who's made them happy. They can remember all of that because of their first function, which is amazing. Also tells them like how they're feeling internally. So if they're getting sick, they can usually know a little faster than everyone else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's an amazing first function to have. And their secondary function is extroverted thinking, which I share with that, which is all about judging with facts and logic. So if you notice, I always search. If Jareth says something that I'm not certain of, I always search to see. I already searched like population last time they checked is 7.753 billion. That's because I'm all about facts and logic, and I want people to have facts. I don't want people to go off feeling when we're talking about things or making decisions. So they, ISTJs, will solve problems with facts and logic and not their feelings. So they don't use emotions or values to do things like that. They will set aside how they feel about anything really to solve a problem, even if they're against it. They'll look at the facts, which is kind of interesting. And so a good example of ISTJ is like Aaron Hotchner in Criminal Minds. So you want to discuss ISTJs a bit further, or are you good with that?
Hotchner, is that the lead guy?
The leader of the team. He's always about rules. Mm-hmm. Like even if he's not for it, he goes to the rule book and says, well, we have to do it this way.
So I don't mind ISTJs, but that's my main problem with them is they're almost, in my mind, they're almost goody two shoes. Like they're very by the book. They follow things by the book. They're the cop. If they pulled you over for speeding, they're not going to let you off with a warning. You're getting a ticket, no matter if it was 2 miles over.
Unless the protocol said they could let you off.
Yeah. So I it's very by the book. There's not a lot of, to me, it's not a lot of individual thinking. It's a little bit more drone-ish. So I don't particularly get along with individuals like that because I don't find conversations or them as people to be very stimulating, because as an INTP, I enjoy playing devil's advocate quite a bit. And they are definitely not the type of people who enjoy playing devil's advocate. They're a little too literal for me. Yeah. So I don't, it's not that I hate them. I don't hate any particular type. Well, that's not true, but I they're a little bit too by the book for me. There's not a lot of, it's a little mean to say, but
they lack imagination.
They lack imagination, and they almost lack a personality of their own almost. And that might be harsh, but that's just how I feel about them. I don't think they're bad people by any means. I just think that they're definitely good soldiers. They're definitely good soldiers.
If you need to get something done, you want one of them around.
Yeah.
And they'll remember what the hell you said.
I always say that if I was in charge of like a fixing a system, I would put an INTJ at the head of it. I would say these are the goals that need to be taken out. And the INTJ would then go and implement them as proficiently as possible. And they would probably use a lot of ISTPs to get it done.
ISTJs.
Or ISTJs.
And ISTPs to build it.
Yes. So
it'd be lovely.
That's the next one, actually. ISTP.
Yeah. ISTP. Yeah. Dubbed the virtuoso with introverted.
I like ISTPs, but we'll get into it after you go.
Oh, yeah. They're fucking cool. I work with one. He's amazing.
One of my favorite coworkers was an ISTP. I was sad when he left.
They are so chill. I love them as bosses. I love them as coworkers. Mm-hmm. They're introverted, observant, thinking, and prospecting. That's what the letters stand for. They tend to have an individualistic mindset. They don't like rules.
You're going to find this trend a lot with me. I like people who don't necessarily want to follow the rules.
Me too. Unless I need them to do something.
Exactly.
Pursuing goals without needing much external connection. They engage in life with inquisitiveness and personal skill, varying their approach as needed. Their cognitive functions stack with introverted thinking first, like my friend Jareth over here, being dominant. And that means that they develop complex systems and models in their heads. They're the best at reverse engineering things. They're the best at inventing things. INTPs or TI DOMs are anyway. ISTPs are probably the best mechanics, mm-hmm. and people that fix things.
They're artisans. They're the handyman. They're awesome. Yeah.
They take things apart and figure out how to put them back together as kids and stuff. But these models explain how things work wherever. Or whenever a dominant TI comes across new information, they test it again against their internal models to see if it works. And if it does, they store the new information in the correct category. If it does not fit, but they think it's still correct, they will completely reevaluate their mental model to reevaluate why it doesn't accommodate the new information. So, yeah, TI DOMs, they're cool. Their secondary function is extroverted sensing, which means that they like to live in the present moment. Mm-hmm. They don't like to live in the future like me or live in the past like others. They're just in the moment. And this is how they interact with the world. And that's probably why, deep conversations with them won't get me far for me personally. But I do love working with them. And where am I at here? This is their tertiary function is NI. So that's my dominant function, which is a function that allows your unconscious mind to process data. So basically when I come across a large amount of information, it goes right over my head initially. And then like 2 hours later, or even when I'm going to sleep or something, it all just clicks. And I'm like, what the hell? Okay, now I understand it. And that's how my brain works. I have no rhyme or reason for that. But yeah, that's NI. That's their third function. And then, what's their last function here? I'm off script here. The ISTP's last function is extroverted feeling, which is harmony. That's also Jared's last function. So they share their first and last functions, INTPs and ISTPs, which is harmony. And so FE is the function that brings us all together and values community and egalitarianism. Since this is the least developed function for an ISTP or an INTP, they aren't very good at using it, but they love everyone, even if they act like robots. Professor McGonagall in Harry Potter was considered an ISTP. The best mechanical minds and people that work with their hands are likely ISTPs. So I thought I'd get a bigger laugh out of that last comment, but
the Professor McGonagall one?
No, the one about how they're not very good at using their FE.
Oh no. Yeah. We're bad at it. yeah. So no, the one person I was talking about, he, when it comes to like stimulating like intellectual conversations, like they're not going to be maybe the most involved when it comes to like theory and stuff like that. They're a little bit more surface level, but if you want to learn something from them, anything to do with like handy stuff, like in that, there's going to be a little bit of stereotypicalness with all these types, but like, especially when it comes to ISTPs, like they know how to build shit. They know how to put things together. They take things apart. They can figure out, without having to look at an instruction manual, how to put something together or take it apart. They can take it apart and then learn how to put it back together like one time. It's amazing. And as somebody who's not like super handy with tools or anything like that, I love having ISTPs around because I can be like, hey, could you, you know, and they're also always super like, not always, but for the most part, they're super willing to help and teach. They're good teachers too. They have like the patience and the time to like, hey, all right, this is how you're going to do it. And we're going to go through it and they're going to teach you hands-on, which I enjoy learning from somebody hands-on, having them there to guide me through it than like watching a video and having to figure it out myself.
And they're also the best at a party. They are the most chill.
They're super chill and they're funny. They are funny. They got good one-liners for sure.
Yep.
And you, Professor McGonagall is a perfect one to pick. If you think about it, like she's always trying to be like buy the book, but like she's always letting shit slide for Gryffindor and stuff like that. She's a badass. So yeah, perfect example of an ISTP, and I like them. I like them quite a bit.
So let's fast forward through all these because there's 16 and we just did two and it's 32 minutes in. But I don't want to.
You went over those two in like 5 minutes, so we're doing good. We talked a lot at the beginning. You're good. All right. Keep going.
Excellent. All right. ISFJ considered the defender with introverted, observant feeling and judging personality traits. They're usually warm and unassuming in their own steady way. They're efficient and responsible, giving careful attention to practical details in their daily lives. They do make up the most of female population worldwide. Mm-hmm. Most of the women I've worked with are ISFJs. They're very dependable, very honest, not too imaginative, not too fun for the, theoreticals or the mystery or really fantasy, anything like that. But love only grows by sharing is their motto.
Yep.
And they're SI DOMs. So that means that they have introverted sensing characteristics previously described. So never wrong them. They won't forget it. Their second function is FE, so harmony. And that's how they interact with the world. They're very loving, often sacrificing their own wants and needs for others, which can be a bad or good thing. I'll talk about that later. But yeah, both of our wives are INFJs, and FE is also their second function. So how they interact with the world. And it sucks to watch my wife personally tear herself apart for others, knowing that those people would never do the same for them. And I don't share that function. So it just pisses me off to watch her do it. I'd be like,
INFJs irritate the piss out of me with how like sacrificing they are. Like, and then they get self-deprecating about it.
Right. It's like, you know, you're annoyed right now. You know, you don't want to be listening to this person tell you their problems right now, but you're still on the phone listening because you want to be that good friend, but they'll never reciprocate. And when they won't reciprocate, you actually get mad, but you push it all down deep. So you just get angry at others around you in your personal life.
Yeah.
You don't tell that person ever how you feel. And it's just this constant. Anyway. So
I also find we'll get into INFJs, but I also find INFJs to be very, very spiteful people sometimes too.
Would but not overall, they're very loving and kind and wonderful. So. Yeah.
and manipulative.
Possibly so. Their third function is introverted thinking.
Yep.
See how I'm moving along now?
Yeah.
Which was explained at length for ISTPs. So yep. Go back on your notes, people.
Yeah.
And their last function is extroverted intuition. So any DOM, so people that lead with extroverted intuition, have minds that can shoot out new ideas faster than flies on shit, like a rapid fire machine gun with ideas for the future. But ISFJs have this function last, so their machine guns are a bit slow. Yeah. Sam Gangi from The Lord of the Rings is considered an ISFJ.
What did you just say?
Their last function is any?
No. Say his name again.
I don't fucking know, man. Gamgee?
Yeah. Gamgee? Oh, my okay. God. We can't be.
Call this, him Sammy Sam.
This
call podcast, him Sammy G.
This is the last episode of the podcast. I'm David Bowieing this. This is the last show we'll ever do.
Sorry, guys. Hope you enjoyed. No.
So I would postulate that my mother-in-law, she's an ISFJ, mainly because once she's very giving and loving of herself, but once you have burned her in a way that she sees as unforgivable, she will wish you dead. She came from a house of 9 children. All the children fought each other. Half of them don't talk to each other. Her eldest sister and her didn't get along. Her eldest sister got multiple sclerosis and actually died from it this past year and wrote her a letter, you know, apologizing for how they grew up as kids. And she refused to read it when it was given to her and told the person to just throw it out because she wanted nothing to do with it. And she believed that her eldest sister was making up her multiple sclerosis to get sympathy from people. So they are the most vindictive people on earth if you piss them off. So don't do it because they will wish you dead.
I mean, I think most FE users, whether it be your first or second function, will do the door slam if abused too much.
Yeah.
I don't really have a problem with that. I don't do door slams. I just walk away. I don't even say goodbye.
Yeah, no, they will obsess about it and plot right. their revenge yeah. and want them. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I'm just done with it. I'm like, all right, you burned me once. We're good.
But anyway, shout out to Gianna, Dina, and Shelly, whom I've worked with that are ISFJs. You're all phenomenal coworkers and people. Yeah,
they're not all they're not all spiteful. They're
I would say that they want their. If you wrong them, they will want it. They will yeah. want
them. But otherwise, they're Sam Gangi. They'll help you carry the ring.
Right. They're very self-sacrificing.
Yes. They're the golden retrievers of the MBTI.
Yeah, of the MBTI. Yeah. Golden retrievers. That's horrible.
You like anyway. That? You like that?
Yeah, I did. So ISFP, that's the next one.
Oh, I guess I didn't give my opinion on, because I've been giving my opinion. ISFJs, they're okay.
I mean, I think you gave a pretty good opinion of them.
Yeah, okay. I just felt like I needed to clarify. They're all right.
Yeah.
I don't not like them like I don't like the ISTJ. But right. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, get close to any of them.
You just don't like the boring types.
Yeah.
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 So ISFP, I have never actually met an ISFP. What were they called? What were they called? ISFPs are called the artist. Interesting.
I'm not really sure why they're called the artist.
Right. I mean, I can see that they might do art, but it's probably mechanical. But anyway, yeah. Okay. It indicates a person who is energized by time spent alone, who focuses on facts and details rather than ideas and concepts, so sensing, who makes decisions based on feelings and values, feeling, and who prefers to be spontaneous and flexible rather than planned and organized, perceiving, which I can't stand. They're FI DOMs, so they focus on how they feel about things rather than how other people feel about things, which is not to be confused with selfishness, because these are the same people that single you out when there's like an event or a hard time, and they say, how are you feeling about this? You know?
Yeah.
And what are you going to do about it? How you feel? What are we going to do about how you feel? So they do care about how everyone feels in the moment rather than what's best for the entire tribe, which I just like recently found out. I thought FI was pretty much just selfish. But it's not. I often find myself as a tertiary FI user asking people, you know, I know this is going on, but how do you feel about it? And I find that to be very important to me. But that's different than Harmony, I guess. So I love FI DOMs. They can leave you in a blink of an eye, but they're very willing to sacrifice themselves for you if you are honest with them. So they're very authentic people. Their second function is extroverted sensing, which means that they interact with the world by being in the moment, not dwelling in the past or future, which we've discussed. They often think most people are spaced out most of the time. Like, they probably hate NI DOMs like myself because we're always dreaming. Introverted intuition is their tertiary function, so they don't use it as much as an NI DOM. And their last function is extroverted thinking. And I haven't met any of these people, like I said. So Darth Maul from Star Wars is considered an ISFP, which I don't see. But so is Dobby. Is it Dobby? I'm going to fuck this name up too. Is it Dobby or Dobby?
It's Dobby. You said it
right. Okay, there you go. Dobby from Harry Potter.
I don't understand when people type characters that don't talk in movies. You can't type right? Darth Maul. It's stupid.
Yeah, how do you know what Darth Maul feels?
Yeah, no.
How?
I can't say that I met any ISFPs either. I would assume that I would get along with them, but I don't know. So on this personality type, I really don't have much of an opinion. They sound like they'd be chill people, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I dated an INFP, which is also a FI DOM, for a long time.
Yeah.
And she left me because of her own personal feelings, but I dig that. I mean, but she was an awesome person, and all the other INFPs I've met are fucking great.
That's the only other type I've ever been, other than INTP. I've mistyped as an INTJ, and I've mistyped as an INFP before, but I definitely know that I'm not an INFP.
I don't think you are
but
at all.
I do really enjoy INFPs. I like them a lot.
I find them
before we talk about them, we got to talk about the INFJ.
Yeah, we're talking about INFJ before we talk about INFP.
Yeah.
So yeah, both of our wives are INFJs, so we tend to know a little bit about them.
They're called the advocate because as much as I like to play devil's advocate, good God.
They're not the devil's advocate. They're the advocate. So they're advocating for everybody. They want egalitarianism. They want everyone to have equal rights, equal things. They're very loving people, unless they're sad or depressed, and they can get very ugly. So an advocate is someone with the introverted, intuitive, feeling, and judging personality traits. They tend to approach life with deep thoughtfulness and imagination. Their inner vision, personal values, and quiet principled version of humanism guides them in all things. They are NI DOMs like myself, so I dig it. Introverted intuition guides them. They interact with the world using FE, which you now know as egalitarianism, pretty much in a nutshell. So they believe everyone is equal and deserves the same thing. Well, I honestly think it's kind of cute. I don't believe in it myself. I'm more of a meritocratist, if that can be a thing. I think people only deserve what they fucking earn. But that's where, you know, people in the comment sections don't like me, but their third function is TI. So when they are angry, they will break it down and tell you every time you messed up. And
oh my God,
they'll tell you the timestamp, the day, like the weather, what you were wearing, how you smelled.
And you'll be like, why didn't we discuss this at the time? And they'll be right? like,
no, man, they'll break it down later on and it's horrible. So they have amazing memories when they're angry, especially. I'm not even going to say the last comment that I had in my notes because that's going to get me some negative criticism. So their last function is SE. And so they're rarely in the moment. They're kind of out there all the time. They're kind of naturally intoxicated, which I think is fucking sexy. And they're a little more SE would be nice because then they want to make love more. But other than that... I kind of like that they're always dreaming. They're always out there. They can tell you exactly why you feel the way you feel. As an INTJ, I have a hard time understanding why I feel a certain way.
Yeah, INFJs are very good at, and I don't necessarily appreciate it all the time either. They're very, right? They're very good at breaking down like why you feel about things or why you do things a certain way. But then when it comes to like reflecting on themselves, they're awful at it.
They're absolutely shitty at self-reflection.
I'm not necessarily talking about significant others because I've known other INFJs too.
Yeah.
and they're good at like psychoanalyzing you, but then when it comes time for self-reflection, it's like,
no. I
don't know.
My wife says that she can self-reflect internally, mm-hmm. but she's very defensive about it when she wants to verbalize it. She doesn't verbalize what she's assessed with herself.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that quite.
I don't.
Because I'm very self-deprecating. If I find something horrible about myself, I'm like, this is how I suck.
Yeah.
This is exactly how I suck. I need to change. I'm not certain if I can, but this is why I suck. Right.
And I think that probably goes into like the turbulent versus the assertive INFJ too, because when it comes to INFJs, I would say they're probably one of the most complex of the personalities.
The most. And they're the rarest people on earth.
Yeah. They're the rarest people on earth, and they're the most complex because there are some INFJs that act completely different from other INFJs, but their memories are impeccable. They are always leading with their feelings. Every fucking thing is about feelings. Like, oh my God.
I feel like you're annoyed about that.
I am annoyed about that because at a certain point, like, we have to move on from feelings and how we feel about things. But otherwise, we would get nothing done. But the world is a better place because of the INFJ, because they believe everybody deserves, you know, to be heard, and everybody deserves to, you know, have love and blah, 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 and all those good things. And I don't think those are bad things and that you should necessarily disagree with those. I am a little bit more on the everybody should at least have an equal playing field than you are. But when it comes to INFJs, it is too much. There's way too much giving and not enough. And then they get mad. They get mad at you when they're giving too much. And like, well, I do this, 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 and this. Yep. It's like, I did not ask you to do that. And
that's what C.S. Joseph says.
That's what we call covert contracts. And those aren't nice, because if you're doing something for me and you expect something in return, you should be upfront about that.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Right.
Using MBTI will help you in not like just romantic relationships, but it will also help you in friendships too.
And work.
Yeah. Because although INFJs are the rarest type, I have worked with a lot of INFJs. And they are not easy people to work with. And so learning how their different functions stack and how they relate to things. And even honestly, if you want to, you can get into ego hacking and learn how to manipulate them. And I actually think that it's okay to manipulate INFJs because they are the most manipulative type.
All right. So,
love you all. I didn't say, I didn't give my opinion on them yet. I haven't said.
I think you did.
I didn't say if I like them or not. I love INFJs. They're one of my favorite types.
There you go.
They just also annoy me. You're annoyed by the ones you love most.
Yep.
So there you go. I also love INFPs, which is the next one.
So not done with INFJs. Pocahontas, Elsa, and Mulan are considered INFJs. I don't think any of them are in need of a man, so their independence is unquestionable, which makes them sexy to me. You want what you can't have.
Yeah.
They're also great counselors, but people use them too much in hard times. I'm just leaving you with this. And leave them the fuck alone. They have feelings too.
I was going to say, stop abusing the INFJs and taking so much from them, because they won't stop. They won't stop.
No.
It takes a lot to make them stop.
They'll continue to help you and help you and help you
to their own detriment.
They'll go home and yell at their husband. So leave them alone.
No.
Leave them alone.
They'll help people to their detriment. It's not good. Also, INFJs, Carl Jung, people have typed him as an INFJ. He himself didn't really know if he was an INFJ or an INTP, which I think is interesting. But at the end of his life, he's finally typed himself as INTP. And there's a lot more people in more recent times who have done typing based off of reading his work and stuff like that, who have said he's an INTP. So that's not one that's any longer up for debate. Carl Jung was not an INFJ. He's an INTP. I actually think that the majority of INFJs are probably female, just like the majority of the ISFJs? I think the majority of them are female.
I'll simplify this. Most feelers are female and most thinkers are male.
I'd agree with that.
Oh, that's just what the statistics say. So INFP.
Just because the statistics say that doesn't mean I have to agree with them.
True. They call the male INFJ the unicorn, and they call the female INTJ the dragon.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
So INFP is the mediator, introvert, intuitive, feeling, perceiving. The INFP personality type is often described as idealistic. People with this kind of personality tend to be introverted, idealistic, creative, driven by high values. They also have strong interests in making the world a better place. Their mm-hmm. functions stack as FI first, NE, SI, and then TE. So they are mainly making decisions based on their own personal value system. So people with that function dominating will normally make decisions based on emotions rather than objective facts and data. Many times people with FI do not recognize or understand their own personality values until someone accidentally steps over their boundaries, which sucks. Because like I said, I dated one. I did not know I was hurting her in the ways I was until it was too late. They like to explore and come up with imaginative ideas with NE as their second function. SI is their 10-year-old or third function, and TE is their last. Luke Skywalker from Star Wars and Arwen from The Lord of the Rings. Did I say that right? I'm going to fuck it up.
Yeah, you said it right.
Good. Thank God. And they're considered to be INFPs.
I was a little scared you were going to fuck up Skywalker.
I'm not going to fuck up Skywalker. I have met a couple INFPs and have a love-hate relationship with them. They're super fun. They're imaginative and very loving, but they will turn on you and you don't know why until it's too late. So
yeah, I like INFPs, but that is the one downside to them is they will just kind of cut you off.
They're like naturally bipolar.
Yeah. But In talking about INFPs is like the Luke Skywalker archetype. He's literally the perfect example of an INFP because when an INFP wants something, they will chase it down incessantly. And when they've made a decision, they stick to that decision. So Luke, in fighting Darth Vader, his father, I'm going to turn you to the good side. I don't care. I'm going to turn. I will literally let the Emperor electrocute me to death to turn you to the good side. So it also does take a lot for them to just like zip out of your life and be done with you too. They're very self-sacrificing in a way that is somewhat close to the INFJ, but not as deprecating to you because they do have a point at which they'll just be like, nope, done.
They're a lot less serious than INFJs.
They are very.
They love to party. Mm-hmm. Fucking love it. Anyway.
All right. On to you.
Yay, me.
The architect.
I'm not that interesting, but yeah, INTJ, often called the mastermind, which isn't necessarily true. Not all of us are smart. Not all of us are good at chess or things like Go or computer science or anything like that. But that's where a lot of us, you know, what most of us do for a living is computer science or, you know, science or math. So we are introverted, intuitive, thinking and judging personality traits or types. These thoughtful technicians, we love perfecting the details of life, applying creativity and rationality to everything. Our inner world is often very private and complex. We often see both sides of an argument all the time. So we can be both hopeful and completely hopeless at the same time. So a lot of people don't like that about us or understand it. And they call us out as hypocrites sometimes, but they don't truly understand the complexities of our minds. We can spend most of the time without human contact, like I said earlier, out of all of the MBTI types. And this is for good reason. Our brains never shut the fuck up. I literally stay up till God knows when. I have to force myself to go to sleep because my brain just goes faster and faster, like exponentially, the later at night it is. And I'll get better at chess, and I don't want to put down the phone.
If neurodivergent symptoms were a type, ADHD would be the INTJ.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we want quick fix solutions. We want mm-hmm. the quickest answer to... If I'm reading a big book, I just really want to know what the fuck it's about and what happens. I don't need all the details. I don't need to know how hot it was that summer day or if your shirt was sticking to your back because of sweat. I hate all those stupid details in books.
Now, this is the dangerous thing about the INTJ, though, is the INTJ, if they find somebody who has, they're very much about the credentials. If they find somebody who has the credentials and, you know, because they want just the bullet points, they don't want to read all the extra stuff in between. They are susceptible at times to becoming very like single focused and being easily tricked because they just want the get to the point. But in getting to the point, they might be browsing very quickly through things and miss things, and they might form some opinions that could be very wrong. And so that's why the INTP is nice for the INTJ, because I'm actually going to do shifting through all the minutiae. I'm going to be like, hey, no, this is why maybe your opinion on this should maybe be a little bit different because of this, 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 and this reason. Yeah. And then Namwonsakati goes, oh, okay, well, I didn't know all of that, or I hadn't researched that, or blah, 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 blah. Now I've changed my opinion on it. So it's definitely good to for INTJs to maybe practice less of the just get to the point and maybe get into the minutiae a little bit. But it's also very hard for them to do that because they have so much going on that they just want to get to the point, learn it, move to the next
thing. And I'm probably not a very mature INTJ because I really don't – I would like to say that I care about humans and I care about what we're going through mm-hmm. as a race mm-hmm. and those that are suffering, because I do. Deep down, I actually do give a shit. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like the policies and like how are we going to change things for the better – I just get instantly bored because I see a power structure in place that's almost undefeatable. And then I see a bunch of people with like small solutions here and there. I don't see like an overall realistic plan, but I'm just getting off course. But what I'm trying to say is it's hard for me to form opinions that have a lot to do with feeling and how I feel about things, because I don't often think about how I feel at all. I see my daughter and my wife sometimes and I'm filled with love, and then that it's like a vacuum. It's just like, whoop, gone. And I'm back onto chess or something. But that's probably why I hurt a lot of people's feelings when I talk about anything regarding politics. But yeah, going back to our brains never shut off. We usually isolate ourselves because we find that most people don't even use their brains that much. And that might be a complete, you know, lie to ourselves, but it just feels like, it seems like, it appears so, that we're always thinking a hell of a lot more than most people around us. And I personally find it fucking annoying. And I'm just like, why aren't you guys thinking? And why don't you guys want to know about certain things? And like, I'm always bringing up boring topics that, you know, people are just bored with. Not to be redundant, but yeah. That's probably why Cerebral Flex, with the host being INTP and INTJ, only have 35 subscribers. We bore a lot of people, but whatever. INTJ cognitive functions are NI, TE, FI, and SE, and we have a 30-year plan most of the time. We always look down the road at our goals and like how to accomplish them in a very strategic way. We love things like chess, like I've said, and Go, and strategic games. We care about how we feel, like our personal feelings, more so than how the flock feels, how the tribe feels. And we give in to vices when stressed out. So if I'm like really stressed out, you'll find me drinking a lot more than normal, or smoking a lot more than normal, or wanting sex more than normal. But anyway, all the evil characters you've ever seen in Hollywood are all modeled after INTJs. Voldemort, Professor Severus Snape. I don't think he was actually a INTJ. I
think he was.
You think so? Mm-hmm. Well, he was a good boy. Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars, Walter White from Breaking Bad, Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty, Dexter, they're all considered INTJs.
Dexter is not an INTJ.
There's a big argument on Reddit. Check it out.
Anyway, Dexter is an INTP.
I don't know.
The show is TI dominant.
I don't know.
He details all his thought process for his skills.
Take it to Quora, Reddit, and look at the YouTube videos, and you'll see all the arguments. I can see both sides. But yeah,
I'm not giving you Dexter. Dexter's an INTP.
That's fine. You can have it your way, like Burger King.
Is that Burger King?
Have it your way. I think so. I don't know. Anyway, so I like us. Pretty self-centered about that. We're pretty vengeful. If you fuck us over, we will strategically, even if it takes 60 years, get our revenge. So don't fuck with us, please.
Oh, God.
And we often perceived as cold and detached. Our inner circle knows we are loyal and loving, but we just love our time alone more than anything else. And so I kindly say to everyone, fuck off. No, I'm kidding. So yeah, that's the INTJ.
INTJs, I like them, but they can also annoy me.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, one that you didn't mention, we're going to replace Dexter because that's mine. I don't think INTJs can be true psychopaths, to be honest. But the architect from the Matrix, Matrix 2, I know that you haven't watched the Matrix in a while, but the architect from the Matrix is the perfect example of what an INTJ is. And you kind of need INTPs and INTJs to be friends with one another because we counterbalance each other very nicely. I am the one who's going to come up with the ideas and all the grand narratives and how it's going to work it out. And then I'm going to go to my INTJ and I'm going to go, here, this is what we need to do. And the INTJ is going to implement it as masterfully and efficiently as possible. And that is why there should never be a president and vice president that are an INTJ and INTP, because then the world will truly end.
Or be saved.
Yeah. But I like INTJs, even though
just because most people would die with my solution doesn't mean that the world wouldn't be a better place.
I enjoy INTJs. They can sometimes annoy me because they can be very black and white. Yep. And they can also, they just want that information real quick. And it's my job to make the INTJ sit down and go over the details with them that they don't care about to make sure that they're forming the right opinion. It's kind of like for the INTJ, I'm a little bit of like their moral anchor. Like, let me steer you a little bit in this direction. But they're not, unlike INFJs and others, they're not very easy people to manipulate because at the end of the day, they're going to think what they want to think.
Yeah, I mean, in my experience, INTPs are more of your eccentrics. They dream of a better future that I think most INTJs agreed isn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think we find beauty in them.
Yes.
But yeah, they're a hell of a lot more patient when researching something.
Well, that's why you have people, and that's why I believe Carl Jung is more than likely an INTP as well, not just because he typed himself that, but INTPs, some of the more famous INTPs are people like Jung, who was studying the mind and wanted to get into the unconscious. And we get a little bit dreamy. We're dubbed the thinker for a reason, because we really think outside the box when we go out there. Albert Einstein, another classic example of an INTP. Bill Gates, INTP. They're very big into being part of philosophical innovation.
Right.
We like logical, like you often get with INTPs, you often get the narrative of like, oh, they're computer nerds and stuff like that. I don't really have an interest in like coding or anything like that. But I am really into like theory. And even when it comes to my writing and stuff like that, the entire reason I like writing is because I can control the world and the systems within the world. And I know exactly what's going to happen and stuff like that. So they're very into design.
They're dubbed the thinker. My two best friends outside of my wife are INTPs. Shout out to Jareth here and my friend Sean. They're great intellectual sparring partners. They're philosophical innovators. They're fascinated by logical analysis, systems, and design. They are preoccupied with theory and search for the universal law behind everything they see. They're very detached, analytical observers who can seem oblivious to the world around them because they're so deeply absorbed in thought, which I love. Their cognitive functions are T-I-N-E-S-I and F-E. They're constantly deconstructing information, exploring new ideas, remembering who has affected their lives, and wanting harmony for all. If they can ever escape their brains for 2 seconds.
So, daydreamers.
Yeah, what?
We're daydreamers for sure. Yeah. We're the people that you'll see sitting out in public, looking at your phones, and then just staring off into space, thinking about something deeply. Yoda's an INTP. Okay.
Yeah. Yoda, Neo from The Matrix, Sherlock Holmes, Chidi Adagonye from The Good Place. You ever watch that show? It's hilarious. Yeah. And Albert Einstein, like you said, and Nikola Dexter, Tesla and Elon and Dexter Musk
Morgan.
And
Dexter what? Morgan. And Dexter Morgan.
And Dexter. Yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. Anyway, we have all the extroverts that we love so much coming next.
There's a couple extroverts that extroverted types that yeah. I like.
I like ENFPs a lot.
I like ENFJs a lot.
Yeah, my daughter's probably one of those. So yeah, let's go through these first two quickly because I really don't like most of them. So ESTPs, they're considered the entrepreneur with extroverted, observant thinking and prospecting personality traits. They tend to be energetic and action-oriented, deftly navigating whatever's in front of them. They love uncovering life's opportunities, whether socializing with others or in more personal pursuits. Their mind wiring via cognitive functions is SETIFENI. I don't want to spend too much time on these fucktards because they're too impulsive for me. Donald Trump was one. He's a classic example of an ESTP. Many people think that they're great leaders because they can make decisions in a moment's notice, but really, they're often wrong and will bring the whole herd down with them. So I'm not a fan.
Yeah, ESTPs, not a fan of them. They tend to think that they're more intellectual and smart than they actually are. They tend to be more shallow people in nature. And I'm just generally not a fan of people who have like this air of inflated importance about them when you can't back it up. And I know that you're an idiot. I think a lot of big CEOs and billionaires are actually the classic Donald Trump ESTP. Obviously not like the big ones who are like you got your Bill Gates and your Zuckerberg and your Musk and stuff like that. But I think more of like the lower end billionaires, like Fred Smith of FedEx. Yeah. I think he's an ESTP. I think a lot of people that are billionaires and up there in politics and stuff like that are ESTPs. Yeah. And they make the worst decisions of all time.
Right.
And the only reason people praised Donald Trump was because, they felt like he was talking to them in their poor white person language.
Well, they like him because he speaks what he feels.
He speaks without, like what he is saying is true, but it is not the objective truth. So
right, but he shoots from the hip and he tells it how he feels it is, which they like.
He's actually kind of postmodern.
Yeah, kind of. But Warren Buffett was an ISTJ. I think, yeah, Elon Musk is an INTJ.
Yeah, but those are the guys like way up at the top. Like those are 100 billionaires. I'm talking about like people like Donald Trump that only have a couple billion.
The people that inherited it?
Yeah, or people like Fred Smith who like, you know. Yeah.
I didn't know this. Jeff Bezos is an ISTJ. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so.
Makes sense. So yeah, ESTJ. I have a good friend that's an ESTJ. Only one really good friend. It is one. They're a bit obnoxious. So they're loud. They stink. So yeah, they're considered to be, and if you are an ESTJ out there, please don't get too offended, but I have had very horrible experiences with them. There's also another YouTube video with an INTJ female talking about how they're all bullies and how she can't stand them, but don't take my word for it.
No, they definitely are bullies.
Go out there and learn for yourself. So they're considered to be director by most websites. Uh-huh. I consider them like the angry cop. They're the most likely for like police brutality. They love rules. They love them. And I consider them to be really gross, stinky bullies. And they are the people that fart all the time and think it's funny, like they're 12. They're assertive and they're very concerned with making things run smoothly and according to the rules. The problem with this is if they're in a position of power, they want everyone to drop whatever they're doing, no matter how important it is, because they're not good at prioritizing, and they want everyone to fix whatever they are having an issue with at that exact moment. But they will not do it for you. They will not drop what they're doing for you, but they expect you to do it for them. I hate that. So yeah, they are absolutely never concerned with how anyone else feels around them, like ever.
It is all about them.
Yeah, it's sick. They're very intrusive. They're very loud. They have no filter. You can't even listen to the news around them without them interjecting their usually very right-wing opinions at all times. You can't even get through a fucking newscast. They're considered to be good leaders because they only care about productivity and traditional community values.
No, that's they're
They do.
They're not good leaders though. They're not good leaders.
They're good middle managers.
They're good middle managers. They're the manager at the fast food joint who likes to shit on all their coworkers so that they can get a bonus.
Yep. That's the one. They're always willing to throw
hate ESTJs. They will throw anybody under the bus, whether it's their fault or not.
Yep.
And if they're the type of person that likes to make quotes, I'm not a manager, I'm a leader, and then continue to backstab everybody. Fuck them.
Yep. They're drill sergeants. They're not really that fun to be around. I mean, they do party hard. They're fun with partying. If you just want to get stupid, then
they're assholes.
Yes. But if you're drunk enough, they're kind of funny.
Yeah, because the bully's funny when you're drunk.
Yes. Yes. And then when you sober up, you're like, why did I laugh at that?
Yeah. Why did I allow myself to stoop to that level?
It was like when you're in the school bus. You were homeschooled, but like when you're in the school bus on the way home and you're all just trying to get as many cuss words in before you have to see your parents again.
Yeah.
You just get off feeling gross because you just did bad things for no reason. Yeah. Anyway, at least that was my personal experience.
Anyway, this is a weird anecdote. I'm liking it though.
many actually love them. A lot of people love them. They say that they're the best people for parties. I find them to be a hindrance on humanity. I think
our I have a theory about this.
Yeah,
I don't think most people actually love them. I think people say that they love them, but if you actually look at people who are ESTJs, which we'll go over in a minute, nobody actually likes these people. They don't. People just like to say they like them. Nobody actually likes ESTJs.
Other ESTJs and ESTPs do.
Yeah.
That's yeah. I find them assholes. They are assholes. There'd be definitely less wars without them. But like I said, I have a really good friend that's an ESTJ. He is a kind of open-minded. He'll listen to some ideas, but he'll always stick with his own opinion. And he is kind of dickish about his opinion. And he loves to fart and, like, you know, eat lots of meat in front of me and talk about how great meat is, knowing that I'm a vegetarian. So he thinks it's all funny. They're the ones that like to tease you all the time.
Who does this to you?
What?
Who does that to you?
I'm not saying his name. So this is our show, and we're allowed to be biased. ESTJs have hurt me probably more than anyone else, so I won't let up on them. And when you think of a bully, think of these guys. Their function stack is T-E-S-I-N-E and F-I. And none of them that I know will actually listen in the hour and 12 minutes that we've been talking to get to this part. So I can pretty much say whatever I want about them.
That's great.
They prepare to implement their thoughts in a productive way without feeling. They know their physical selves well. So they know when they're getting sick. They know who's wronged them. They never forget, like, that sort of thing. They love traveling, but not exploring thoughts. So they're the ones that are like, oh yeah, I've been to Russia and I've tried their vodkas and blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, well, have you ever read Russian philosophy? And they'll be like, fuck you. You know? They don't like to think much except for what makes them money. And their feeling function is last and the least mature. And even though Jareth's last function, your last function is feeling, I feel like you use it a shit ton more than these people.
Well, here's the thing. The ESTJ is, and this is probably the reason I dislike them the most, they are the type of person who are pseudo-intellectuals. And there's nothing I hate more than a pseudo-intellectual. Somebody who will listen to someone that they perceive to be smart and then spit out those talking points. And you know that it's vapid because they haven't fucking thought about anything they've said at all. And I hate that because
that's true.
It shows so little thought. Like I'll repeat talking points from certain people that I listen to, but I've actually thought about the point I'm making. I'm not just saying it so that I can swing my dick around and feel like I'm smarter than everyone else.
Yeah.
And that is what I hate the most about them. I hate that they think that they're smart when they're actually dumb motherfuckers.
They're really smart when it comes to making money. They will not forget anything in business.
Yeah. It's because they're greedy assholes. Anyway,
Kamala Harris, Alec Baldwin, Frank Sinatra, George Bush,
George W. Bush,
Andrew Jackson, who killed tons of people, Harry Truman. They all were ESTJs. A lot of our presidents. So I'm done talking about these blowhards. So moving on.
Yeah. And, just again, really quick. Nobody likes Kamala Harris. She dropped out before she even made it to the Iowa. Nobody really likes Alec Baldwin. He's a dickhead. Everybody knows Frank Sinatra was an asshole. George W. Bush is universally hated by most people. Andrew Jackson, everybody knows he was problematic, and nobody liked Harry S. Truman either. So I maintain that everybody says they like ESTJs, but nobody actually does.
I think other ESTJs love them.
Well, that's because they're wrong.
And the ESF or ESTPs love them.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure ISTP is their romantic counterpart, and they love them. Yeah. Picture that. The laid-back artist, the laid-back introvert artist loves the fucking overlord Winston Churchill, I want to fucking watch the world burn type of person. Weird. So yeah, fuck them. So ESFP, they're considered to be the entertainer with extroverted, observant, feeling, and perspective personality traits. These people love vibrant experiences, engaging in life eagerly, and taking pleasure in discovering the unknown. They can be very social, often encouraging others into shared activities. Their function stack is SEFITE and lastly NI. Sorry. So Ronald Reagan, Benito Mussolini, and Bill Clinton are considered ESFPs. Okay, we're done with that. So,
opinion? Opinion? As with the first three, I don't like them. And the reason I don't like them is I find them to be more nefarious than the first two. I think that they are slightly more intellectual than the first two, but in all the wrong ways. And I mean, the people you mentioned are, need we say more? Ronald Reagan has literally destroyed this country. Thankfully, there's a lot less ESFPs and there's a lot more ESTJs, because we'd be a lot more fucked if there were more ESFPs.
Yeah, and they say that INTJ, myself, my shadow and grip stress is actually the ESFP,
which is
the next one.
Which is, yeah. Let's go to the next one.
But either way, yeah, ESFP. We did talk about. Yeah, that's my shadow.
Yeah, no, that's probably the part of the INTJ that annoys me.
Yeah, we get self-destructive. Yeah. We stop thinking deeply. We start hurting other people's feelings. We generally act like assholes when we're under a lot of stress.
Now, for the next one, I you can go ahead and go over it, but I actually don't mind. I like ESFJs. They're not too bad.
Interesting. So ESFJs are considered to be the council with extroverted, observant, feeling, and judging personality traits. I said it like a robot on purpose. They are attentive and people-focused, and they enjoy taking part in their social community. Their achievements are guided by decisive values, and they willingly offer guidance to others. Their cognitive functions are FESINE and TI. So Taylor Swift, Joe Biden, Dolly Parton, and LeBron James are all considered ESFJs. I don't know if that's accurate. And I don't feel one way or another about them. I honestly don't think I've met one, but I would think they're pretty vapid when it comes to like deep conversation.
I wouldn't say necessarily. ESFJs, they're like the opposite of the INFJ when it comes to receiving like counsel and stuff like that. I think they're pretty good and even-handed with it. The only thing with ESFJs that you kind of have to look out for is on the flip side of like being more negative. They can tend to over-exaggerate quite a bit in my experience. I mean, I don't want to use anybody personally because I don't want them to get upset. But like with Joe Biden, if you go back in time when he was first running for the election, he was talking about all these credentials. He was the top of his class. He went to school on a grant. He got 2 degrees, blah, 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 blah. And then they actually did some deep diving and learned he was in like the bottom of his class. He got 1 degree and he did not go to school on a grant for gifted people. So they tend to, and I don't know if they necessarily realize they do it on purpose, but they tend to almost be compulsive liars. But not compulsive liars in a way that's really harmful, just in a way that's kind of like stupid.
Yeah, like, I don't like
why
that.
Why would you do that? But
I don't like
they
that.
They don't annoy me too much. They're easy people to talk to, and they can be somewhat insightful.
I went like 6 months in middle school telling everyone that I ran the shuttle race in PE class in like 7.4 seconds or something stupid. And then I just felt so stupid about exaggerating because I actually did in like 8.5 or something.
Yeah.
That I had to stop. So I don't really understand people that do that, like exaggerate shit in their life just to make themselves look better or whatever. I don't get it. But I'm sure everyone's guilty of it to some degree. I have definitely stopped. I will be completely honest with every way I suck to anyone that I come up to. But
all right, up next, ESFP. Yeah.
ESFP. They're considered the entertainers. See, I'm already bored talking about the extroverts. the person with extroverted, observant, feeling, and prospecting personality traits. These people love vibrant experiences, engaging in life eagerly, and taking pleasure in discovering the unknown. They can be very social, often encouraging others into shared activities. They have SE, FI, TE, and NI as their function stacking. And think of Fred and George Weasley from Harry Potter or Marilyn Monroe in real life. And like I said, I don't really dig most extroverts, so I'll be saying less and less going forward in this podcast. They are the reason so many people die from viruses because they just have to go out. That's my opinion. I just have to go out.
I don't mind the ESFP too much. I think that they're good for people who are introverted to have around because they will force you to get out a little bit. The places that they'd want to go aren't necessarily the places I would like to go. But I think that they're good people to have around, especially for children as well. I think that they'll get children up and out from in front of the screens and stuff like we have now.
Oh my God, that was for ENFP. I'm sorry, everyone. I said ESFP. That last one was for ENFP.
What?
The last one I just talked about.
No, you just talked about the ESFP, did you not?
I did. Going extroverts, I did ESTP, then ESTJ.
Oh, ENFP. Duh.
Then ESFP, then ESFJ, and then ENFP. I fucking love ENFPs. ENFP actually is INTJ's most likely counterpart. They're very theoretical. They force me to go out. They're so fun. Yeah, they're just very intellectual yet fun. And yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah.
I don't have any hatred towards these guys.
Yeah, you were just ragging on them because you thought they were ESFPs.
Yeah, I don't like ESFPs.
I knew what I meant. ENFP. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, ENFPs. I like them.
Yeah. Well, and then the next one's ENFJ, which is I like ENFJs a lot.
Well, my mom is one, and I believe my daughter is one, and I've worked with tons of them. I can take it or leave it. I've met some that are just boring, and I've met some that are absolutely fun. So they're considered to be the giver. ENFJ indicates a person who is energized by time spent with others, who focuses on ideas and concepts rather than facts and details, who makes decisions based on feelings and values, and who prefers to be planned and organized rather than spontaneous. My mom, like I said, she can have a ton of fun. Not really into like super deep conversations. Not for a long period of time anyway. She will talk deeply about some things, but I think sometimes for the ENFJ, if you get too realistic and deep and dark, they get too sad to continue the conversation. So they definitely feel a ton.
Yes.
And they're definitely entertaining. They don't like to be bogged down by mentally strenuous conversations. So
I don't find that to be true.
I haven't met one that likes to talk about super deep things for long periods of time. Most of them will just say that's the way it is. Why do you obsess over it? I had an ENFJ woman straight to my face to be like, dude, I don't care. Like, there's nothing we can do about it. We're at work. Like, yeah, it's a big issue. It is the way it is. Why don't you just enjoy life? You know, that's pretty much at the end of the day what I've been told by every ENFJ in my life.
Well,
other than my daughter, yet.
The reason
she'll tell me one day.
The reason I like ENFJs, I guess we can do who the ENFJs are. You got Mufasa from The Lion King, Moana, real famous INFJs. They're Barack Obama, Meghan Merkel, and Tupac Shakur, RIP. I like ENFJs because they're a person who they're energized by time spent with others, but they don't necessarily need to be around a lot of people all the time. Like, they do like that. But like, if you're just spending time with each other, like, that's like more than enough because they're vibing off of you. And I don't really need to spend time with a lot of other people either. So it's nice to have somebody to like kind of vibe off of each other. They like to talk about concepts and ideas. And I've had conversations with them that go deep, maybe not as deep as like you and I sometimes go in our conversations, but they can go down the rabbit hole with you for a little bit and actually give you more practical input than theoretical input, which I really like. They are feeling types, so you know, anybody who's a feeling type, they're gonna annoy me a little bit because like they're super big on their feelings. But I really enjoy that they're like planned and organized. They don't really like to be super spontaneous. Like, this is what the agenda is, this is what we're going to be doing, and then I don't have to make any decisions because the decisions are made. And that's really nice for me because as an INTP, I don't really know what I want a lot of the time.
I would say that in grip stress, they are some of the most destructive people I've ever met. They can be downright crazy party animals.
Yeah, I could
see they'll have sex with anyone. They like drink anything. They fucking get nuts. So, I mean, there's good and bad to every type, of course, and all people. But yeah, I would say for depth, I would rather talk to a thinking type or at least a more theoretical thinking or feeling type like an ENFP or an INFJ.
Yeah.
Or an INFP. But ENFJs to me are more if I want to go to a party or I want to just have a nice, light, good conversation with someone, nothing too deep. But yeah, they can discuss ideas. They do care about what you're into, which is nice.
Yes, they care. They can care almost to an obsessive amount about what you like because they're very much about them having a good experience is giving you a good experience.
Right.
So and like that's cognitive, what I really enjoy.
That the reason is they lead with FE.
Yeah.
And so it's FE, SI, NE, and TI. And that's the last thing I needed to say about that.
And that's why I like them because I'm a selfish person. I want everyone to care about my experience.
Well, you'll make a great author.
ENTPs. I like ENTPs, but they piss me off too.
Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty.
Yep.
Often considered to be the debater with extroverted, intuitive thinking and prospecting personality traits. They tend to be bold and creative, deconstructing and rebuilding ideas with great mental agility. They pursue their goals vigorously despite any resistance they might encounter. Their stacking is NE, TI, FE, and SI. So like I said, Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty. I have a couple friends that tested as ENTPs. They're so smart, very ambitious people. They're very cold and detached when they want to be. It's pretty crazy how detached they can be. But they're very loyal in their inner circles. They just might not call you for 2 years. Other fictional ENTPs are like, you're going to say this one for me.
Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and then Captain Jack Sparrow, Iron Man, Jack Skellington, and the Joker. And real and famous ENTPs include Tom Hanks, Salma Hayek, and Chris Rock.
So ENTPs I dig them. Are interesting to me, and I like them because they're not as much into theory. They're more about taking the theory and trying to practically apply it. So they would be almost what I would consider to be like more scientific, like you see
experimental
it with
experimental physicists and things.
Yeah, like you see with Jack Skellington, like he's like taking apart, he's deconstructing Christmas and trying to like figure out. So they already take concepts that are known and try to look at them from a different angle. They're not necessarily into like, and you see it with Iron Man and Tony Stark, they're not necessarily into like making new things. They're about how to make certain things better. And I enjoy that about them. They can get annoying because they can be very cold and detached. And when they take a position, unlike an INTJ, you cannot sway them from it, whether they are right or wrong. They're
the most like sociopaths to me.
Yeah, I would agree.
In my experience,
I think even if you look at like C.S. Joseph, like we've talked about, like he's very into feeling himself. He's insanely smart and he knows he's smart. And ENTPs are very into feeling themselves and feeling how smart they are. And that can be a little dangerous in psychopathy. But overall, I like them. They can bug me and rub me the wrong way sometimes.
Yeah, I haven't met one that's not a narcissist.
Yeah, if narcissism was a type, it would probably be the ENTP.
Agreed. So I bet if anyone watches this in 60 years or something, some MBTI fanatics are going to be mad at this episode, but whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
maybe ENTP they'll develop the science more. Because
what did you say?
I said it'll probably be an ENTP that develops the MBTI science more.
Yeah. Yeah, like C.S. Joseph.
And again, it's the flip because you have the INTP who's going to do all the theory and, you know, you're going to be the Carl Jung and you're going to come up with all this weird stuff. It's going to be the ENTP who goes and is like, all right, I'm taking this and this, this piece and we're going to deconstruct it and we're going to figure it out. So they're developers for sure.
Yeah. The only gripe I would have with them is that they find INTJs to be adorable because we're so literal. We don't understand a lot of sarcasm and things. So they think it's cute.
Yeah.
And I think that's asshole-ish. So go fuck yourselves.
Oh, you think a lot of things are cute that I think you're an asshole about.
Really? Like what? Oh, egalitarianism? Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Go fuck yourself. Anyway, I don't like the ENTP and the INTJ relationship because when it comes to ENTPs, with the way INTJs are, ENTPs, if they are wrong, you can't change their stance. And so they're more likely, if there's an INTP relationship with an INTJ, you're going to have the
Mythbusters.
Yeah, you're going to have the INTP trying to, steer the INTJ in a direction that they see is more right, whereas the ENTP is going to give the INTJ what they want and be able to manipulate them much more easily. And I don't necessarily like that dynamic. ENTPs
have no problem manipulating people.
Yeah, and I
hate that.
Yeah. So, last one.
Who were the hosts of Mythbusters?
Adam Savage and Jamie something.
Right. So, who was the one that continued and who was the one that left?
I think Jamie left and Adam continued it.
Okay. So, Adam was the ENTP. And Jamie was the INTJ.
Yeah. Jamie was the one with the big mustache and the beret.
Yeah.
Yeah. INTJ. Right. Yes. Correct.
So, anyway, if you ever want to look at that relationship between those two, go to Mythbusters.
But so, Jamie's a very healthy INTJ too. So
Yeah. I find that when INTJs are well paid, we become very healthy.
Yeah.
Just give us enough money, we'll be fine.
All right.
We just want enough money to isolate ourselves and read what we want. So ENTJ, often considered to be the commander for good reason. They are energized by time spent with others, extroverted. So they focus on ideas and concepts rather than facts and details. So they're intuitive. They make decisions based on logic and reason, which is kind of counterintuitive there, with their thinking function. And they prefer to be planned and organized rather than spontaneous and flexible. They lead with TE. So like the ESTJ that leads with TE, can be very in your face and not caring how you feel. Mm-hmm. So TENISE and FI, I consider them to be the smarter version of the ESTJ. They have smarter brains with maximum ambition. So most business leaders, a lot of presidents have been ENTJs. They never let go of their dreams, ever. They will walk over anyone it takes to get to their dreams. They'll do whatever it takes to get to their dreams. It can be good or bad. Margaret Thatcher was ENTJ. She basically crushed unions and made privatizing business a thing in England. So I think that's a dick move, but some people would agree that's great, like a libertarian. Or Napoleon Bonaparte or Princess Leia from Star Wars. I almost said Leia. Ooh. And then, all right, I'm done. Anyway,
all right,
go take a 12 minute test on 16personalities.com if you want the easy access one. Have your friends and family do it. It helps you get along with them, makes you understand why they say certain things when they do. It's helped every relationship I've ever had in my life. I've been reading about MBTI for over 10 years now, and it is a soft science, but I think it's pretty fucking accurate. So,
yeah. ENTJs, I might be biased because it's my shadow, but I tend to enjoy them quite a bit. I can definitely see when certain aspects of myself, when I become much more like in conversations with you and I, like there will definitely be times where I'm skirting around the topic and then you'll plain out ask me and then my ENTJ shadow comes in and it's like, all right, you asked. So this is it laid out on the table, plain. So I think they're really good at getting stuff done. Obviously, I mean, you got Margaret Thatcher and Napoleon Bonaparte and a bunch of other presidents. If you look at world leaders, a lot of them have been ENTJs.
Did you know during grip stress, INTPs are more like ISTPs?
No.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So even when you're super crushed by the world and you want to die, you're like the chillest personality type.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I turn into a erratic, emotional weirdo.
Well, and also with the ENTJs, and you know, they never let go of their dreams and goals and stuff like that, and they make them happen. Like, I have a very hard time letting go of dreams and goals and stuff. That I still have those dreams and goals to today. Now, whether I can make them happen like an ENTJ or not, that's an entirely different story. But I tend to like them. They're pretty chill people to be around when they're just relaxing. If they have a goal, though, they're going to go out and they're going to achieve it hardcore. So, yeah.
So if you want to see your dark side or your tango, you can look it up that way by saying tango. I didn't know that.
So
I'm trying to read about you right now.
Yeah. So that's the MBTI. That's all 16 personalities. Yeah, it is a soft science, but it's pretty accurate, just like astrology is accurate and the Enneagram's accurate. I think that it's important to at least look at and get a basic understanding of it. And then you can use it to the most important thing with anything, whether it's astrology, MBTI, Enneagram, etc., is you take it and you make sure that you learn not only how you interact with the world and with others, but you use it to help make yourself a better partner, better companion, better person in general. Use it like people, well, I'm an Aquarius, so I'm gonna be, you know, aloof and asshole-ish. Like, don't use it that way. Learn what your positives and your negatives are, build on your strengths, and try and work on the negatives. We're all works in progress, and it only helps us.
Yep. Or, you know, you can just completely give up and give in to all of your negative traits. There's options. But I think self-reflection is the best thing. Work on, like he said.
Yep.
Just listen to him. Don't listen to me.
All right. Well, this one's been a long one, but it's been fun. You got a lot of unfiltered opinions. So we hope you guys like it, and we'll see you on the next one. All right. Like, share, subscribe. Bye-bye.